Welcome to the HSCT Warriors Podcast, bringing voice to the journeys of HSCT Warriors worldwide. I'm Dr. Jen Stansberry Koenig, or Zen Jen, and so grateful to share this story with you. As we continue to grow the HSCT Warrior community, illuminate the invisibilities of autoimmune disease, recognize the possibilities of a future free from disease progression, connect through our shared experiences, and advocate for an inclusive society. We're so glad you've joined us. Welcome, Kristen. It's great to connect with you and learn more about even, how you came to find HSCT as an option.
I was diagnosed with MS 7 years ago, presented with numbness and tingling in my legs, eventually worked its way to not being able to walk over the course of a few months. Mm. And I was in and out of the hospital trying to get diagnosed with something because something was wrong.
Right.
Over a few months, finally had a doctor who had seen something similar and got me set up, and within 2 days of seeing this one doctor, I was diagnosed with MS.
That's and quick.
Yeah, it was a long time to get the right doctor. But once I found the right doctor, then it happened really quickly. So I'm really appreciative of him for knowing and for getting me on the right track.
For sure.
As soon as I got diagnosed, lots of information got put my way, whether it was through Facebook or through family. Once I got the diagnosis, everybody was looking at what it was going to look like, HSCT, it sounded like at the time was still fairly new as far as it was a treatment for autoimmune disorders. So I had a couple of people give me some websites to look up when I was first diagnosed. And I looked it up and I talked to my neurologist at the time. And my neurologist was very cautious about it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was still fairly new. And
so was that like 2016?
Yeah,
okay.
I think so. Yeah, that sounds right. Because it's not without risks. HSCT is not something to be taken lightly.
Right.
And MS as a general rule is not something you die from. It's something you live with. So he was very cautious about it at first, wanted me to try some other disease modifying therapies before we jumped right on into that. Very fortunately, again, my neurologist wasn't against it. And after the last 7 years of trying other disease modifying therapies, he was open to referring me to the Calgary hospital where I got the treatment done.
Sure, because there you do need a referral. Right.
It was a bit of a process. He referred me and again, very thankful for the medical team I have, including the people in Calgary, because once I got referred, they were very quick to see me. And once we confirmed everything, then it was very quick to get everything lined up. And get the process started.
Which is wonderful. Wonderful. So what was your experience like with MS and between the time you were diagnosed and you received transplant? So it was that full 7 years, I guess.
Yeah, a lot of ups and downs. For the most part, I've been, when I would have relapses, they would come on quick and they would hit me hard. I got my first disease modifying therapy was Gilenya, which is, I'm not sure how familiar you are with some of the therapies for multiple sclerosis, but it's they kind of go in tiers. First tier being low efficacy, second tier being medium, high efficacy being most
Efficacious, right? Effective. How about lower there?
So I got set up with Gilenya first for a year, and it slowed progression, but it didn't stop progression. So I was constantly limping, having some brain fog, stuff like that. So after a year of doing that, my doctor said we should try one of the more potent drugs. So he got me set up with Lemtrada, which is one of the
Heavy
I think it's
hitters.
really heavy hitters. One of I was when I was put on it, they told me that I would get two treatment courses of Lemtrada over 2 years. I ended up getting four
Oh my
treatments
goodness.
over 4 years. And when it, like I got the treatment and I did very well for the year, and then my symptoms would come back, and then I would go for the next treatment, and then I'd be well for about a year, and then the symptoms would come back. So
Wow.
about four times, and after the fourth round, they didn't want me to go move. They didn't want me to use Lemtrada anymore.
Sure. What kind of effect does it have on like your systems? Like, was it?
I actually was very lucky. I didn't have any real side effects from the treatment, although it does have some potential long-term side effects, including thyroid issues and some other complications that can arise long term, which I'm being watched for the next 3 years through the drug company that provides it. But up to this point, I actually haven't had any of the complications that I've
That's
actually heard about
wonderful.
that have Lemtrada have a rough go when they get it. So yeah, for me it's been pretty good as far as that goes.
So what happened after the fourth year of Lemtrada?
I got I had another relapse. The last relapse I had was really bad. It actually had me wheelchair bound for a month or two. And I
How
saw
was
my
that to
doctor.
experience?
That was terrifying. I've never been in a situation where I wasn't able to do things for myself, and it was a very humbling experience, but also a very terrifying experience.
I bet.
Yeah, can't really describe other than it was I'm very fortunately I have a wife who is very supportive of me, has been very supportive through everything that we that I've been through, but having to lean on her quite heavily when I'm the kind of person who likes to be able to do things for myself. It was quite a humbling experience.
Sure. Gives you a whole new perspective on life.
Absolutely. So yeah, and that last relapse happened in December of last year. Sorry, December of 2022. So I got put on another disease modifying therapy to Sabri for a few months. When my doctor put me on that, he wanted to see if that helps. And if that wasn't helping, which in the end it didn't stop new lesions from forming. So in June of last year, he said he would put in the referral for HSCT.
Oh, well, that's wonderful.
And then yeah, I ended
At
up.
least, I mean, how did it feel to you? I'm like, oh, yeah, that's wonderful.
Well, I mean, it's nothing with the medical system moves quickly as far as my experience. But as far as experiences go, mine move faster than I know a lot of other people's have. So again,
Sure.
very fortunate.
So he made the referral in June, and did you stay on Tysabri or something else while you were waiting to figure out like scheduling? Were you keen on HSCT at that point?
It was scary. Again, I've done lots of reading about it, and my doctor wasn't he wasn't shy about the risks
Risks,
involved with it. So
which I think is really important. Honestly, I mean, I think.
I agree completely, and I am very glad that everybody was so upfront about things going into it. But at the end of the day, my quality of life was declining at a fairly fast pace, and I would and I did value my quality of life quite a lot. So me and my wife, when we talked about it, we both were in agreement that if this gave me the chance at a better quality of life, then it was worth it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's still a big decision, right? A heavy decision.
Yes, and we talked it through over the course of a week or so, and really talked everything over. And it's not even just the risks of taking the treatment itself, but we had to uproot me to Calgary for a number of months in order to get the treatment done. So that was another factor as well, relocating and figuring out costs involved with having to be in a different city while getting this all done, and how everything was going to work. So once we decided that I was going to take the treatment, it was only a few months, and we had just a few months to prepare everything financially, and moving and relocating as well. So that there was a lot of factors to take in even when making the decision.
For sure. Well, and maybe you could share a little bit more about that because it seems unique, at least from being in the United States, right? I don't know that people would necessarily relocate. They might just, well, very often even rent an Airbnb nearby the hospital that they're going to so that their spouse or their significant other could even stay, nearby. But it's an inpatient treatment in Calgary, right?
It is the structure of the whole thing, from start to finish, was to get to Calgary to do a number of pre-treatment tests to make sure that more or less my body could handle the treatment. I'm not sure what the treatment regimen is for hospitals in the States, but I have heard that Canada has one of the most aggressive treatment courses when it comes to HSCT?
Yes, myeloablative.
Yes. And they did a lot of, or that they put in a lot of effort to make sure that to make sure to minimize complications as much as possible. So I was there for a month beforehand, getting all kinds of tests, ECGs, MRIs, all kinds of tests to make sure that everything was healthy otherwise. So that was the first month. After that point, we moved into the mobilization phase, and the mobilization phase is where they give you a dose of chemotherapy, and then they the goal is to move stem cells from your bone marrow into your bloodstream over the course of a week. Then they hook you up. They hook me up to a apheresis machine to separate those stem cells. After they've separated the stem cells, it took about a week before everything was prepped and they had a room ready for me. Then they admitted me to the hospital. Once I was admitted to the hospital, I was there for a month. There was 10 days of chemotherapy to eliminate my immune system. After
How did
that,
you do with that? And even, I mean, leading up to that, did you experience any complications with even like the filgrastim shots or Neupogen shots to remove the stem cells from your bone marrow to your bloodstream? Did you have bone pain or any
I
other
had a little bit
issues?
of bone pain. It wasn't as bad as I've heard some people's are. I was very lucky with regards to how my body reacted to most of the treatments. I had very minimal side effects from the chemotherapy.
Wonderful.
Also, the doctors were very good about making sure that I was taking medications to help with nausea or to be proactive about not getting nausea,
Yes.
so I didn't have any bouts of vomiting or anything like that.
Wonderful.
I did end up losing my hair.
Yes. That's typical, though, right?
Yeah, and but otherwise, I was again very fortunate to not have to be too uncomfortable during the mobilization and during the elimination of my immune system up to the
Wonderful.
treatment.
That's
And
spectacular.
yeah, so that was that covered about another 2 weeks, and then they had me in the hospital again for 3 weeks, just watching my counts, checking for any complications.
Or infection.
They had me released for about a week. After 3 weeks, they released me. One of the reasons I had to relocate to Calgary is the hospital and the doctor specifically wanted to keep close tabs on me for the 90 days post transplant. And in order to do that, I needed to be closer to the hospital. Me and my family live about 10 hours away from that hospital.
Wow, yeah.
Wanted to me to be in close range, so
Sure.
for that 90-day period. And it was very fortunate that I was because I did have a later complication. My liver decided it really didn't like that treatment. And it got real angry. So I did end up going back into the hospital for another 2 weeks.
To address the liver. So did
To
they
address.
just like detox or?
Unfortunately, when it comes to and this isn't it's not a super common complication, but it's not uncommon either. This type of liver complication, I understand. There isn't a whole lot that doctors at the time can do, but they want to monitor and keep you close, in case, because when your liver has issues, it can cascade into issues in other organs as well. So they want you really close by to monitor that situation. Unfortunately, most of my treatment and recovery for the liver complication was just wait and see, which is a really stressful place to be in.
Gosh, I bet.
When you're not feeling well, and the doctors are saying there's not much we can do, just have to watch and wait and see
Sure. Talk about a
how
mental game.
it was very stressful for me. I'm very a neurotic person by nature anyway, so I was in my head the whole time. It's an uncomfortable experience.
Sure. Well, and I mean, anybody, right, would be stressed if there's just that long waiting game of like, really, there's nothing we can do but wait. It's like, there's surely there has to be something.
Well, and you'd think so, but there was just a whole lot of waiting, and it took probably 3 weeks from when I first started presenting symptoms. But I did end up recovering, and
Wonderful.
mostly completely recovered from that now.
So is that something they'll keep an eye on, your liver enzymes?
Yeah, absolutely. Probably won't be a heavy drinker for the
Right.
rest of my
There are
life.
other things. There are other
Yeah,
things.
wasn't much of a drinker anyway, so that
There you go.
wasn't a huge loss for me. But
Right. Well, yeah, we'd rather have our health.
yeah, absolutely. And but otherwise, I bounced back pretty well from that experience. And other than that, they were monitoring me for the 90 days post transplant, and as far as they were concerned, last week when they discharged me, everything was looking good, and I was allowed to go home on Friday of last week.
Wonderful. Welcome home.
Yeah, no, it was it's a it. It was a long journey for me and my family, and 4 months of me being in Calgary while my wife stayed home and took care of two kids and took care of our house, while making as much time as possible to come fly out and visit and spend time with me as much as possible.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it was a big undertaking for everybody, and I'm also really appreciative of the extended family, because they were also a big help,
Helping, sure.
making sure that we could do all this, and making sure that I could be able to do it. And up to this point, it's been worth it. I've had a lot of lingering MS symptoms that are no longer there,
Wow.
which has been a big plus. And I know that there's no cure for MS, and even HSCT is as good as it is, it's not a cure. And there are some people that don't get benefit from this. So the fact that I have received benefit up to this point has been really, really amazing.
It is indeed. Yeah. Any healing, well, not healing per se, but benefit in terms of ease of symptoms, I think is always bonus. And yeah, enjoyed
Well,
by many, but not all.
yes, and we've again, I have talked to other people who are eager to be t to do HSCT as they are in a situation similar to myself, where they've been on other treatments and not gotten the benefit. I want to advocate for those people who don't have who haven't gotten the benefits from the other treatments. Being that HSCT is still it's still a new treatment, I want doctors to know that it is something that is out there, and that it is something that does potentially give benefit. And when you have MS and your outlook is not great, I know a lot of people that would rather take the risks and get the benefit out of it.
Try, yeah, just try the treatment. Yeah, similarly, right, had tried several different DMTs and just continually got worse.
And it is a it's not, I've said it before, it's not a cure, but at this point, it really seems to be the closest thing we have to a solid halt to progression, which is what every MS person living with MS, if you're living with MS, you know that's the goal, is to stop progression.
Right. Yeah. And so I'm curious why it was important for you to participate in the podcast. You mentioned just a bit ago, right, is helping inform doctors that this is an option because not all doctors are aware, or maybe they're overly cautious.
There is a lot, and there's still a lot of there's still a lot of doctors out there that want to treat the community that has MS with they don't want to hit it hard and hit it fast. I'm not sure why, but there's a lot of people that still have to go through the motions of trying the I've mentioned the low tier, medium tier, and high tier. They want to go the step-by-step progression, and the research shows that hitting MS hard and fast is beneficial to quality of life later on.
Right.
And I don't necessarily think that HSCT should be everybody's first hit.
Right.
The goal is to stop progression, and if none of the other high tier DMTs are working, then absolutely. If it's something that the person is wanting to do, then they should have the option to be able to do that.
Agreed. And I think that's right part. Part of the situation is that not everyone would even opt for HSCT because of fear or
It's definitely
whatever
not.
reason.
It's definitely not something to be taken lightly.
No.
Like I said, there's and I've been fortunate with my experience, but there are risks and complications, and I wouldn't necessarily recommend it as the first step, but I definitely know lots of people in a similar position to myself where they didn't have any other options, and that is the next step. And that
It's a hard place to be, right? Like it's a hard place to be in that continuing to progress in the disease, but also feeling like you don't have many options left to
yeah,
try.
exactly. And it should be an option. It should at least be an option for those that need it.
And then are interested, yeah. So you're just freshly home.
Yeah, it's, again, it's a 10-hour drive, and I broke the drive up over 2 days. Really nice drive. I don't know how familiar you are with the BC and Alberta area, but the Rocky Mountains are kind of the border, and you get to drive through some really, really beautiful areas. Some highlights being Banff, which is a fairly well-known area. Lake Louise, another really well-known area, and the ice fields, which is as you run through the Rocky Mountains, very, very beautiful drive.
Sure. So did
And
anyone come out to stay with you or help you drive home?
not for the drive home, no. I was for the last couple of weeks I was in Calgary, my doctor was adamant that I was okay to be on my own. And my wife and extended family had a lot of stuff to take care of in order to make sure that home was clean and set up for me once I got here.
Sure.
So they took the time to get everything set up. With HSCT, you are immune compromised for a good long time. So making sure that stuff is clean and making sure that nobody is, or that any chance of spreading sickness is mitigated as much as possible. And they took the time to do that, and so I spent the time getting ready, and I was able to drive home.
Wonderful. And kudos to you for making that trek on your own, right? That I bet there was a lot of conversation and reflection going on in your head during
It
those 10
it
hours.
was mostly excitement. It had been a couple of weeks since I'd seen my wife and kids, so
Sure.
very excited to make the
Oh
drive.
yeah. I'll never forget that first hug from my kid when I got
Oh my
home.
gosh, I was so excited when, and yeah, they were outside the front door when I pulled in, so everybody, you just see them, my wife and kids, their faces just light up when I drove in. So it was
Awesome.
really, really nice.
That's beautiful. So, I mean, aside from keeping an eye on your liver, surely they'll be doing blood checks with you. Like what are their discharge recommendations these days?
The regular blood work, which I get on a monthly basis, I was getting on a monthly basis before treatment, but that was pretty much they said just do the monthly blood work and checkups, and stay stay clean, stay healthy.
Right.
There was a lot of if you can avoid crowded areas, do that as much as possible. Those are areas where germs and sickness can spread. Be mindful of foods that you're eating. Make sure that everything's fully cooked. Again, I'm immune compromised for the next year or so. So just to be mindful of who I'm spending time with, making sure that they're whoever I'm spending time with is not sick. I am having to get revaccinated after 6 months because the treatment got rid of
Most of your titers.
sorry, say that again.
Oh, you say it again because you broke up.
Oh, All of my childhood vaccinations are needing to be redone. But other than that, they said to try to live as normally as possible.
Right. Well, that helps your immune system to recreate itself, right?
Yeah, well, it's the goal of the treatment is to get rid of any immune cells that could remember MS. If you're not familiar with it, is a autoimmune disorder that your immune system mistakes your myelin sheath of your brain and spinal cord. The protective layer of that brain and spinal cord from your immune system starts attacking it. And the goal of this treatment is to eliminate any memory of your immune system attacking your myelin sheath. So that means it eliminates everything.
Right. Totally obliterates and reboots.
Yeah, so that's that includes any immunity, any learned immunity that I've had over the last, I'm 32, or I'll be 33 this year, so 33 years.
Right. So, do you have any advice, or what might you offer as advice to someone based on your experience to help someone navigate considering HSCT or even going through it?
Have a good support system. It's really important. It can be very isolating to be going through this treatment. Having a good support system. My wife and extended family also have been there for me, and I couldn't have done it without them. So have a good support system, but don't be afraid to look at it as an option. Just like every disease modifying therapy out there, there are risks, but the benefit is there, and yeah, just not. Don't be afraid of it, and have a good support system, and yeah, that's pretty much it.
So, what kind of benefits have you experienced? Like, what were some of the symptoms you mentioned just kind of went away?
The numbness and tingling in my leg. I don't walk with a limp anymore. I had memory issues that have gotten better, and
Did you
overall,
have brain fog?
brain fog was another symptom that I experienced. MS can present in a whole number of ways, but more or less just my overall feeling of being healthy has been there, and that was a big deal.
Nice. It is huge, and mindset is key. So, what about a superpower that maybe you feel like you've gained from your experience with HSCT?
Oh, superpower. I have become a lot more mindful of my own body.
It's so important.
I learned how to listen to my body very, very well over the last few months. I'd say is probably my superpower.
Do you think it started maybe when you were experiencing your relapses, or did the experience with HSCT really kick that awareness in?
The HSCT was a huge contributor in that. I'd have to chalk it up to that.
Like maybe when you noticed, like when you had your liver complications.
Liver complications and even the chemotherapy. I was in a spot where I was isolated, so a lot of my time was spent listening to myself and I guess meditating inwardly during that time.
That's wonderful. Had you spent time like that before?
Not to that degree. No. Often I would try to distract myself with other things, and you don't really get the opportunity to do that when you're sitting in a hospital.
Right? There's not much left to do.
Yeah. That being said, when you do HSCT, you make sure you have a few things to do: books to read, videos to watch. I also brought some musical instruments because I like to play music, so I got to do that a little bit. But when you're not feeling up to any of that stuff, you just meditate.
Yeah, you tune in.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And so what are you grateful for about your experience with HSCT that maybe has gone unspoken?
I'm hugely thankful for the medical system in Canada. I talked a little bit about the financials of it all, but in Canada, the inpatient care was completely covered
Amazing.
Through our healthcare system, and it's just not something that I would have been able to do without that. And so, yeah, hugely grateful for that, and hugely grateful for all of the doctors and nurses that that were there, and they were present and caring, and all of them were so amazing during treatment and post treatment. They were just they must love their job, and it really showed, and I can't thank them enough.
Right? It feels like the utmost professionalism and
huge.
Caring on those transplant floors.
Any Canadians looking to go through this treatment, the Calgary Hospital was amazing to me. And if there was ever any worry about how they'd be treated in the hospital, there was nothing but professionalism, respect, and for lack of a better way to put it, love. They were awesome.
That's awesome. And so such a relief, right? To be so cared for in the hospital.
Yes.
You
Yes.
Mentioned talking and connecting with other patients while you were, so were you allowed, while you were inpatient, were you allowed to connect with others and like visit in the hospital?
Yes. There were points in time, especially when I was initially admitted to the hospital, where I was isolated to my room. But after a little while, after the isolation period, there was space for everyone to move around, and there was a couple of community spaces as well that we could go to and spend time. So a few of us, I don't think everyone did. And again, because some people's situations were a little bit different, but I did get to connect with a few people who were doing fairly well during the course of the treatment.
Well, that's an excellent I think thing to know, because I know in Russia at least patients are pretty isolated, like they actually call it isolation
Right.
for most of the time, which is different from being in Mexico, right, where they can get together for dinner and meals, and I think most people when they get their stem cells back, it's in the same room.
Okay.
Like people get together for that procedure as part of it.
That's very interesting.
Well, and it's a non-myeloablative procedure, so they have less chemo. That doesn't mean that you still aren't feeling the effects of it, but very different in terms of, collaborating or connecting with others. I know when I was in Chicago 6.5 years ago, there was a community room that we could visit, and but there was only one other person, I think, going through transplant when I was there, and I was just beginning and she was getting ready to be discharged, and so our paths just never crossed. Like we just never made it happen.
The treatment center that I was in, it did HSCT for multiple it's mainly a cancer center, is what the Calgary clinic that I was in, they mainly dealt with treatments involving cancer, so I'm not sure if these other treatment centers maybe have separate facilities for people going through stem cell transplant for cancer as opposed to stem cell transplant for autoimmune that being said, there were at least 15 rooms that were occupied while I was getting treatment.
Okay, wow.
And so I got to learn not even just about stem cell transplant in general, but how many different kinds of stem cell transplants there are. And how they work with autoimmune disorders, and also how they work with cancer treatments. And there are different treatments depending on if you can use your own stem cells or if you need to use the stem cells of donors. I got to learn a fair amount, and I got to talk to some of the people that were there not for autoimmune disorders, but for cancer treatment and their experiences.
Wonderful. And so maybe share some of that learning if you don't mind, because any listeners out there might be curious
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
or perhaps would just help expand their awareness.
Absolutely. So for autoimmune disorders, the most common stem cell transplant is called autologous stem cell transplant, and that just means that you are using the stem cells that they collect from your body. There are in some cancer patients that's not really an option for them, so they go through what is called an allogeneic stem cell transplant, and that is using stem cells from donors, whether that's family or other donors that match a profile to be able to transplant them into your body. And those are the two most common stem cell transplants. You're not going to see allogeneic transplants for autoimmune disorders because they come with a significant amount more risk. And most people who have autoimmune disorders, my understanding, are healthy otherwise. So it's more advantageous to use your own stem cells for the procedure. Talking to some of the cancer patients, they have also gone through like they've gone through chemotherapy, but they've also gone through radiation treatment, and some of them have gone through chemotherapy for a longer period of time before getting before getting the transplant. Those individuals are very, very, very strong, very tough people in order to have gone through the treatment path they have. And yeah, it was incredible to talk to some of them and hear their experiences. I was fortunate in Calgary. I was put in touch with a woman who donates condos to stem cell recipients from out of town, so
Oh,
that
wow.
and so that they have a place, so they and their family have a place to stay during the treatment. And I was very fortunately one of the people that got one of the condos.
Wow, that's wonderful.
There was another couple that was also going through treatment that got another condo not far from us. And we were introduced, and I was talking to him about his treatment and experience, and he had gone through three separate transplants. One was he started his first initial diagnosis was multiple myeloma, and he got an autologous stem cell transplant to take care of that 5 years ago. And the hope is this is that transplant for cancer will also multiple myeloma specifically will stop growth of the cancer cells that he was dealing with. Unfortunately, it didn't. And he ended up having to come back a second time 2 years ago for a specific procedure called CAR T therapy. And that's a really neat therapy. They extract immune cells and then train them to fight cancer cells and then put them back into your system.
Yeah, like genetic engineering.
It is, and it is. It was such a cool for him to explain it to me. It was super cool
I bet.
to hear about that. Unfortunately, he had to go through a lot more chemotherapy, and then I got the immune cells back. So that was 2 years ago, and he ended up having to come back a third time when I was getting my transplant. And the reason he was back the third time is because all of the chemotherapy that he'd done for the first two transplants had killed his bone marrows. So his bone marrow was no longer producing stem cells.
Oh.
And so he ended up having to get donor cell stem cell transplant in order to hopefully rejuvenate his bone marrow. And last I talked to him, it seemed like it was working.
Wonderful.
He was still there when I was discharged, so I hadn't gotten a chance to talk to him before I left. But last I'd heard, he was doing way better, and it sounded like the treatment was working.
Hopefully it does continue to work and he,
Yeah, well,
yeah.
and it was really really amazing to talk to him about it. And him and his wife are such strong individuals for going through that and sticking together and sticking through it, and just amazing to talk to them.
Yeah, it must take an extreme amount of resolve.
Yeah, well, and over the course of 5 years, to be battling with that, I know, thinking about it myself, I'm very, very grateful for the ability to do the treatment, but I don't know that I'd want to go through it more than once.
Right. Well, I mean, and like we said at the start, it's a significant procedure. And it's amazing he was able to find even the trust in the doctors and, the will to do it again, to try it again and just see how it might work.
And so yeah, he obviously his experience is a lot different than mine, but we did get to talk and kind of compare notes, and a very common another very common side effect from chemotherapy is changes in your taste buds. And I noticed some changes in my taste buds. Everything tasted abnormally sweet to me, and it was weird, but his was a little bit different. Everything that he would eat was spicy, which was a really neat comparison to make. And yeah, but yeah, that was one connection that I got to make that I am very appreciative of.
Sure. And I think that is one of the wonderful things about HSCT is that we end up with this huge extended family that we hadn't necessarily anticipated.
Yeah.
Even if they were battling a different disease than us.
That's right.
And how neat that you were able to connect with some of the pa cancer patients to learn about their experience. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, even, and helping shed light on what the current experience is like in Calgary.
Yeah. I again couldn't be more grateful to everyone that made it happen for me, because I couldn't have done it on my own. And anyone from the medical team in Calgary is listening, like, thank you so much.
Yeah, we are beyond grateful for those medical professionals who dedicate their time and their careers even to serving those of us battling autoimmune disease. Well, Christian, I really appreciate connecting with you and learning more about your story, and for you to be home, so newly home, and spending time with us today. I really appreciate that, but I hope that you enjoy a wonderful rest of your day with your family and the upcoming months of recovery and, navigating wellness and your newfound sense of self.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, Christian, you take good care and stay well. And maybe we'll connect again in a few years down the road and see how things turn out for you.
Yeah, I'd like that.
Well, thanks again so much. And yeah, take good care.
Thank you.
Thank you, Christian.
Bye now.
Bye. Be sure to visit hsctwarriorspodcast.org, where you can find notes from today's episode, submit ideas or feedback, and connect with resources and the HSCT Warriors Incorporated nonprofit. As always, special thanks to musical genius Billy Alletshauser for sharing his superpowers to create the soundtrack, edit, and produce the audio to make this podcast possible. You can find us both when you subscribe on SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you find podcasts. It has been amazing to connect with warriors worldwide, and we would love to hear from you about how the podcast has helped your journey with autoimmune disease. Take a moment to connect with us on Instagram or share this episode with someone you know that would enjoy listening. In the meantime, we hope you'll tune in next Wednesday for another episode highlighting another HSCT warrior. Until then, be a snowflake and embrace your superpowers. Be kind. Be well. Jen Stansberry Koenig and the producers disclaim medical influence and responsibility for any possible adverse effects from the use of information contained herein. If you think you have a medical problem, please contact a licensed physician and take good care of it.